Well, I'm honored to be able to stand in this pulpit from year to year. It's a blessing to be able to travel and preach the gospel. But it's a special honor when folks have you in on a regular basis, the way that I've been able to get to know Grace Baptist Church. I appreciate your prayers for our ministry. You've labored with us and allowed us to be one of your missionaries, and we've tried to be faithful to the Lord and work earnestly in that call that's upon our life. I would ask you to pray for me. We have a little something different in our ministry now, but I have a church down in Alabama that's considering us as their pastor right now. And so there's like four of us preachers that they've contacted. And out of those four, they're doing interviews by phone and internet. And then at the end of the internet interview, they are going to mail out a questionnaire, of course, and we're to fill that out and answer it and mail it back to them. And then out of the four, they're going to invite one to come in. And so they're only going to present one at a time to the church. So I think that's right, and I think that's a good way to do it. But you just pray. I don't want you to pray that I get the church. I want you to pray that the Lord's will be done. And if he wants me to pastor, then I'm certainly ready and willing to do that as he would lead. It would be a change of selling the house and moving back to Alabama after being gone. We've been in Somerset now for about 13 years, and we've enjoyed being there with Brother Broughton and being able to minister under his leadership as my preacher for those many years. If you have your Bible tonight, I'd like to go back to the book of Philippians again. Philippians chapter 3 tonight. And I want to begin my reading with verse number 10 and read down through verse number 14 and then bring you the message that God has laid upon my heart tonight. I ran across a verse while I was studying and preparing to come in tonight that went along with this morning's message. And if you will, right quick, hold your place in Philippians and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. I'll give you a moment to get there because I want you to see this verse in your Bible. He said, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Fervent charity for one another. We ended the message this morning on how we ought to love one another with an abiding love. And that verse just complements that thought of this morning's message. And certainly we ought to be in fellowship together, be able to deal with times that you don't agree with one another politically or any other way that you could mention, but stay in fellowship with one another as a church and love one another is a command. He said, above all things. And so I appreciate that verse tonight. Look down in your Bible now to Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, and stand with me if you will while I read my Bible to you tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. Paul said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads tonight, we come before you, Lord, as needy servants, in need of your blessings upon this time of preaching. I would be the very first to announce that I am not adequate for this hour. Paul said in these verses that he had not already attained, and I have not attained, neither am already perfect. But this one thing I do, Lord, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And there is set before us tonight a great open door, and I yield myself to you. I pray that you'll take my members and let me be just a vessel for you. God, that you would bless us in this hour. Let us preach with power tonight and persuasion. I pray, Lord, for this altar tonight. Lord, that you would cause it to be a very precious place in our sight. When we consider our lives and our relationship and fellowship with you, may you help us to see the altar as not a place of wickedness, but as a wonderful place to commune with our God. Bless us now, and we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Down in verse number 14, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm very interested tonight in that word prize, because there is set before you and I tonight a heavenly prize that may be obtained whenever we get over on the other side. I looked in the mirror this morning as I began to shave, and I wondered as I stared into that mirror, where is that young man that I used to know? Where is that young man that used to pitch baseball till he is 21 years of age and used to hit an 8-iron 165 yards? But he's gone now. He doesn't exist anymore. But I'm getting closer and closer to heaven. Do you know, as I preach this message tonight, you have never in all of your life been as close to heaven as you are right now. This is the closest you've ever been, and it'll happen. One time I was talking with Adam about his gifts and using that gift of singing for the Lord. And Adam had reservation because he was afraid to get up in front of people, like all of us that answer the call of God. And so I took Adam one day and I walked across a cemetery, And I came upon an infant grave. And I said to Adam, lay down, Adam, beside the grave. And I'll never forget as little Adam, 8 years of age, laid down beside that infant grave. He looked back to me and said, but Daddy, I don't fit. And I said, that's right, Adam. Sometimes young people go to heaven. Sometimes God calls us at what we would think would be a premature time. But he calls the elder and he calls young people to heaven. So every one of us in this room are on that journey. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24, the Bible says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. That word prize is talking about the Olympics and the Grecian games, how that they would put headband of leaves upon their head as they won the race that they were involved in. And Jesus is saying that you and I are also in a race. Paul in verse 14 called it a prize that we may win when we get over on the other side. I found in my Bible five crowns that may be won. Some teach seven, and I've studied after seven, but I see five clearly in my Bible that we can win when we get over on the other side. There is a crown of glory that God said he has in store for those that feed the flock of God. That's a crown I'm looking forward to. Our good Sunday school teacher can say he's looking forward to a crown of glory for feeding the flock of God. It's a prize that may be obtained when we get on the other side. There's also, secondly, a crown of life that may be won for those that endure temptation and say no to the world and no to the devil. Do you know the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that every one of us will enter into the judgment of God whenever we get to heaven? And in Ecclesiastes, the Bible said that every secret thing shall be judged upon that day. Every secret thing. Jesus said, even the thoughts of our mind. He said that if we look on a woman and lust after her, that we have committed adultery already in our heart. So Jesus is saying that you and I can win a crown of life when we get to heaven for saying no to temptation and no to the things of the devil as he brings them our way. Thirdly, I found a crown of righteousness that'll be given to all those that love his appearing, that lives their life looking for his return. And you know, when Jesus ascended up from here, the Mount of Olives, and went to heaven, the Bible says that it was at the Mount of Olives. And as those disciples stood around at the Mount of Olives, they just stared up into heaven and kept their eyes fastened on that direction. The Bible said they stood there staring so long that God had to send two angels down to break them up and tell them to leave that place. They were staring They thought he meant he would go up and turn around and come back again. That's the way you and I should live our lives tonight, as though we expect him today to come, this very moment to reappear. I had a young man, as a matter of fact, it was my brother's son that moved in with Miss Kay and I. And when he was about 6 years of age, and I was able to lead David to the Lord, seen him baptized before he left my home, got him in Little League Baseball, just enjoyed his life during those precious years. But we're driving to church one night. Little David looked up at me and he said, "Uncle Benny," he said, "where does God live?" I said, "David, look up beyond the clouds. Look past those clouds. Somewhere out there is a land called heaven." And I said, "God lives there with his son, Jesus. And one day Jesus is coming back to get us. And we're going to go up through those clouds. And we're going to live forever in heaven." Well, I was driving to church and didn't pay much attention. But I looked over and sitting in the passenger seat up in the front of the vehicle, David had his head leaning over on the window and looking up at the clouds. And I said, "What are you doing, David?" He said, "I'm watching for him, Uncle Benny. He may come back today." And it amazed me at how even at a young age we can comprehend the fact that now could be the time. And I know what most people say. We've been hearing that all of our lives, and he hasn't come yet, and he's not going to come today. But Jesus said, "In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Amen. So he's on his way. As a matter of fact, if you look over in the book of the Revelation, John said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven." John said 2,000 years ago, he said it's coming down and it's on its way now. So I can confidently stand in this pulpit tonight and announce to you that Jesus is on his way. He's coming back for you and I that are saved by the grace of God. And there's a crown of righteousness for all those that love his appearing. I found a crown of rejoicing in my Bible. And that one's in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 19. And it's a soul winner's crown. If you've ever led anybody to the Lord in your ministry, then the Bible says that there is a crown of rejoicing waiting for you on the other side. Thank God. Now you may be pious and humble and say, "I don't want the crowns," but I've got good news for you. Those crowns are very, very important in the life of a child of God. The number five, I found an incorruptible crown. And it's for those that run the race and stay in the race and finish the race that God has called them to do. You don't have to be a Lawrence Richardson. You don't have to be a Benny Hatfield. You only have to run the race that God has asked you to run. And there's a crown, an incorruptible crown waiting for all those that crosses the finish line and finishes the race. If there's any one thing down in my heart tonight that I want to do in this life, it is to finish the race that my God has called me to run. And every child of God should have that down in their heart. So I find five crowns that may be won when we get to heaven on the other side. Now someone asks, what will we do with those crowns? Will we wear those crowns around in heaven? They are crowns of authority and crowns of recognition, crowns of prestige and accomplishment that we have to win out of our Bible. But you know, the Word of God said that we will have one time when we get to heaven that you and I will gather around the throne of God, and sitting on the right hand of God will be the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I will have one opportunity to tell him how much we love him. One chance, that's all. That you'll never have another opportunity like this one. And the Bible says we'll take our crowns and we will cast them at his feet and say, worthy is the Lamb, thank God, that deserves this crown. And some will have two crowns, some will have three. But I want you to know tonight, I'm a little selfish. I want all five of them. I want to be able to throw all five of them at the feet of Jesus and there win the prize. So that word prize is talking about a holy event that is waiting for you and I on the other side. When we do get to heaven, we have a funeral down here. We lay the corpse aside. But you know, if we could just see, if I could just pull down a canvas and show you that they're being rewarded in heaven, they're being recognized for all the time that they walked with God and did what God wanted them to do. So there's a prize. But as I studied further in my Bible, I found that there is more to this word prize than just five crowns. There is more in your Bible that talks about what you may obtain on the other side. For example, I found in my Bible that when I get to heaven, the real prize is that I'm going to receive a brand new body. Amen. The Bible says without spot and without wrinkle. Amen. Someone said that every one of us will probably be 32 years of age as our Lord was, or 33. I don't know about that. It sounds good to me because I remember those days. But I do know one thing. We'll be in the prime of life and we'll have a brand new body. Dr. Jack Hiles said that he believed that some of the finer arts of this life would follow us into heaven. And the example he gave was that if you enjoy playing golf down here, you may get to play golf when you get to heaven. But I got to thinking about that, Brother Tom. 33 years of age with a driver in your hand, and you're playing golf in heaven. Could you miss? Every shot would be a hole in one. Every drive would be around Jupiter, off Mars, draw around Mercury and land in the cup at the perfect speed. I don't know about playing golf in heaven, but I do know we've got a brand new body waiting for us on the other side. Those of you that have followed my ministry know that we struggle with pancreatitis for 7.5 years. And acute depression came upon me, and I locked myself in my bedroom and didn't go anywhere. and would not receive phone calls. There's times that your preacher called and I just couldn't make myself talk to anybody. The depression was so upon my body and upon my life. But it's churches like this that didn't give up on me and encouraged me in the Lord that helped me to get through that time. And I have all of this that I have now, being able to preach. But one day I'm looking on the other side, and blessed be God, there's a brand new body waiting for me on the other side. There'll be no pancreatitis over there. There'll be no depression over there. It's going to be happy days for the rest of our life. So you and I should look at this word prize tonight and realize there's not only five crowns, but there's a brand new body to be obtained. A brand new body. And then I have not only a brand new body, but I have a new beginning. I don't know about you, but you've got a preacher tonight that hasn't always done everything right. I've made mistakes. I have let the Lord down at times in my life. There have been times that I did not say yes to His will, and I got out of church and ran from the call to the ministry. There have been times that I have let Him down. But oh, when I look at that word prize, I found in my Bible that when I get over on the other side, every one of my sins are going to be wiped away. Do you know one thing that makes God God? Is the fact that God can cause Himself to forget. That's the omnipotence of God. You and I can shake hands and say, I forgive you. And you can say, I forgive you too, Benny. And you and I can say, let's forget it. But the truth of the matter is, it'll always be in the back of our mind. It'll always be a part of our memory. But God can will Himself to forget. And when you get over on the other side, all your sins are going to be forgotten. They're gone. The Bible said to cast as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. Thank God tonight. I'm glad that there is a new beginning on the other side where I get to start fresh, start new with my life. And all these things of this world are going to be left behind. I don't know about you, but I'm a little cautious about some of these people that have out-of-body experiences. They claim that they seen this and seen that. Buddy, if I see it, you mark her down. Brother Hatfield said, I'm not coming back. Amen. I'm going on, brother. Amen. I long for that city where there'll be a brand new body waiting for me on the other side. A brand new beginning. No sin whatsoever in my life. Do you remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba? The Bible says there was a time when the kings went to war. Every year, as a matter of fact, the nations got together and had war every year. And the country that won this war, their God would be feared above all the other gods of the land. The gods of the Philistine, the Muslims were there. All the other gods of Allah and Balaam and those gods. But David was supposed to represent the God of heaven, and he was supposed to be at the war. But the Bible said that David tarried at home and did not go with his men to the battle of the war. He walked out on the balcony of his palace one afternoon, looked out and looked across his land and seen Bathsheba bathing on top of her house in the nude. And he lusted for her. The Bible said he sent for her and she did come. Somebody says it was Bathsheba's fault. I agree. She should not have been bathing such as she was. But can I say on her behalf, there wasn't supposed to be any men there. They were all supposed to be gone. They were supposed to be in the battle. But David did not go to the battle. So he got out of the will of God and encountered a temptation that God never intended for him to encounter. And David sent for her and lay with her. The Bible said she conceived a child. David come up with this plan that he had to hide it. So he sent for Joab to send Uriah back in, her husband, and let him go down and lie with his wife, and he would think the baby was his. But when Uriah came, he slept at the door of the king's palace and said, "How can I go in to my wife when my brethren are out there fighting the war?" And he had enough integrity and enough class about him that he wouldn't go down and lay with his wife. And so David's plan didn't work. So David ended up having Joab to put him on the front line to be murdered in the war. So adultery led to murder. And murder led to the conception and birth of a baby that God never intended to be born. It was born upon this land. Bible said the baby got sick. David rose up or failed to raise up and wouldn't be comforted while the baby was sick, wouldn't eat, wouldn't do anything. Then the baby died and David rose up and bathed himself, sat down and ate. And his servants said, "We don't understand. While the baby was here, you were down, and the baby died, and you got up." And David said, "I can't bring the baby back, but I can sure go be where the baby is." Every one of us in this room has that to look forward to. When we get on the other side, there's a prize waiting for us on that other side, and it entails a brand new body, and a brand new beginning, a brand new beginning. Not only that, but we have new blessings on the other side. Things like streets of gold and gates of pearl. Can you imagine? We've never lived like we're going to live on the other side. The Bible says that every one of us will have a personal mansion. This NIV that's out says, it changes that word mansion to a room and says all of us will have a room. Well, I don't know about you, but I've had a room for a while. Amen. I'm looking forward to a mansion on the other side. I'm glad that there's a new body, new beginning, but there's new blessings coming our way that we never have encountered, and we're going to be a part of that when we get to the other side. My brother, Roger, was killed in an automobile accident. And my dad came to me and he said, "Ben, I'd love to know what happened to Roger." You know how it is when you lose a loved one. You become like a detective. You try to figure out everything that happened and what they went through and how that their death occurred. And so he wanted me to go down where he crashed the truck and the truck rolled down the hill and landed on top of my brother. And my brother was pinned underneath the truck and All that was sticking out was his 2 feet. And I got down to this spot, and while I was riding down with my uncle to that place, I began to think about my brother, and I began to think about all the good times that we had had together as brothers. And I thought about, for some strange reason, one Christmas. Mom and Dad bought us some apples and oranges, of course. We always got apples and oranges. But Mom bought us a little matchbox car alike. It was actually a little pickup truck. And the doors would open and close in that little truck. And boy, we played with those little trucks. Oh, see, we were so poor. Mom had a wood pile in the backyard, and we played with blocks of wood. Long pieces of wood were transferred trucks. Short pieces were cars. Mid-size were pickup trucks. And so we played with the wood. Boy, to have your own little truck and to be able to play was a special blessing. I kept mine polished, kept it on the headboard of my bed. But my brother, he's the type, he wanted to figure out how that door opened and closed. So he got Daddy's screwdriver and pair of pliers and pried that door off of that little truck and tore it up. He came to me and he said, "Benny, I want to buy your truck." I was only about 4 to 6 years old. I don't remember. Mom helped me with most of the story. But she said that I told him, "Okay, you can have my little truck." He said, "I'll give you 50 cents for it." I said, "Okay, that's a deal." So for 50 cents, I was going to get money for my truck, and I love money. And so my brother went in and said, "But I don't have 50 cents. Can I borrow 50 cents? And my mom said, "You ran back into your bedroom, got your jar of pennies out, brought them out, and I counted 50 of them out, and I laid them in Roger's hand. Roger laid them in your hand, and you gave him your little truck." She said, "I tried to tell you had the truck and the 50 cents, but you couldn't see it. And I couldn't comprehend that. All I knew is I had 50 pennies in my hand." And I sit there in that truck going down to this wreck site thinking about this. 50 cents my brother owes me. I got down to the wreck site. There was the twisted metal and the broken glass and the indentions into the ground where the truck had rolled over and tumbled down. And finally at the foot, there's where my brother lay. And I got to scouring through the broken glass and twisted metal. And I seen something shiny. And I found a dime. And I looked a little further, and there was a nickel. And there was a quarter. And I found them in the broken wreckage. And when I'd finished scouring through the broken glass, I opened up my hand and counted 50 cents in my hand. And it was as though the God up in heaven said, "Roger's with me, and everything's all right. Paid in full for the little truck, 50 cents. Do you know that 50 cents would not have meant anything to anybody else on this earth? But it meant something to me. It meant that God knew what I was going through in this life down here." And I'm just saying to you, that word prize denotes that there's new blessings waiting you on the other side. There's a new bridegroom waiting you on the other side. I could talk to you about Boaz and Ruth, but Jesus is our bridegroom. Amen. And he's waiting on the other side just to redeem you as Boaz redeemed Ruth and gave her handfuls on purpose. And then there is waiting on us on the other side a brand new building that I talked about a while ago. It's called a mansion. Wonder what that's going to look like. Wonder how it'll be built, what the structure will be of gold, silver, precious stone, all in that mansion that you and I are going to live in. So Paul penned down a letter to the church at Philippi. And look in your Bible, and then I'll be through. He said in verse 10, that I may know him. Paul said, the one longing down in my heart is, I want to get to know this one that saved me. And Paul said, in the fellowship of his sufferings, and his in the power of his resurrection, and fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now let me close with that statement. Paul said that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended. It's a handshake. It's a handshake, Brother Jay. Waiting on the other side. A welcome from our Lord to every one of us personally, that I may apprehend, or in other words, that I may get a hold of the one that's got a hold of me, and I may apprehend him waiting on the other side. Let's stand, bow for prayer.